Good morning, and a warm welcome to you this morning. If you were here last Sunday, you knew the welcome wasn't as warm because we were having some heating problems, but those seem to be resolved. In fact, it's a little warm in here this morning. It's just hard to keep me happy, apparently. Greetings on this first Sunday in Advent. The day that allows me to start listening to Christmas music and to turn on the Christmas lights and those kinds of things. I need to get to Advent before I can do those, so it's a good day for me. There are some announcements that we have a look at before we proceed. And first of all, it's Soup Witch Day, so please plan on sticking around for lunch today following the service. There is a gluten-free option for those who need to go in that direction. And a thank you to those who are providing our soup witch today. I know that we ask people to bring a sandwich and more, but the team that does the soup witch does a lot of work, and thank you for doing that. The seniors' annual Christmas dinner is coming up December 10th. Please sign up in the narthex so that we know how many are coming. We have a longest night service on Wednesday, December 17th. This is like a Blue Christmas service. It's particularly for those who find Christmas to be a difficult time of year. Perhaps this is the first year that is true for you in terms of loss. But if it is a difficult time, this is a service that is geared for you. Perhaps you know someone that you could bring along for that. That's at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, the 17th. Also, the 2015 offering envelopes are available. If you haven't done so, pick yours up. If you want envelopes, speak to Mark, I assume. Sure, we'll say speak to Mark Ranson. Speak to me if you don't know who Mark is, and I'll point you in his direction. Or consider the PAR option, which I can speak to you about, or he could as well. Please take note and put in your calendar about the congregational retreat on January 31st. As I keep saying, more information will be available, and it will, but I just want to highlight that so that we're geared towards it. The Christmas Carol service is coming up 2 weeks from today, and there is a little invitation that is in your bulletin. You can take that and put it on your fridge, or better yet, you could take that and give it to a neighbor, or give it to a friend, or give it to an enemy, and invite them to come along as well. But please make use of that. Jesus does tell us to love our enemies, so I'm serious when I say that. And finally, we have the Fairview Focus. The Christmas edition is available, and if you haven't picked... Did I say Fairview? Rats, sorry. And available is the Christmas edition of the St. Paul's Focus. The problem is we called it the Focus, too, so... I'll try not to do... The St. Paul's Focus is available, but if I catch you reading it during the sermon, you'll pay. I don't know how much you'll pay, but you'll pay. Those are all the announcements I have. Let us prepare to move into worship with God. This is the season of Advent. It is a season of hope. And in hope of God's grace and hope of all that He gives to us, let us come before the living God and let us worship Him. Thank you. And let us pray. Our holy God, who was and is and will always be, we bow in your presence to acknowledge you as Lord, Lord over all, over the galaxies and the solar systems and the worlds, Lord over all that is in this world, Lord over all people of all creatures, Lord of our lives, acknowledge you, Lord of my life, and I bow before you, we bow before you, to bow our wills to you, acknowledging you as Lord. For you are good. You are not only the Almighty, but you are good. And we celebrate your goodness and your love, your mercy and your grace, your righteousness and your justice. Because when you created, you did not turn us loose without a thought, but you desire to be in relationship with your people. And when we did not want it, when we turned from you, you came to us, God as human in Jesus, and lived amongst us and taught us and even died for us and rose from the dead that we should live. And you are here now in this place, in our lives by your Holy Spirit. And so we celebrate before you, Lord. We worship you and give you praise because you are good. Bless us as your people. Bless us with your mercy. There are times and ways in our lives, and even in this last week when we have turned from you. We have denied you, forgotten you, or just didn't consider you important enough. So, Lord, forgive us our setting you aside. Forgive us for harming one another. Forgive us all our sin in Jesus Christ. And make us new again. Make us to live for you, that we would bring you glory. And bless us with your Spirit, that we may know with all certainty and assurance that we are forgiven. Our God, all this we pray in Jesus' name, as we pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
We are reading from Psalm 42, verses 1 to 11. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?
My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God?
These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy among the festive song.
Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me.
Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Zion.
Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me.
By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life.
I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?
My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying, where is your God?
Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. May God bless the reading of his word.
Morning. If there's any other young folk who'd like to come up to the front, I'd invite you to do so now. And we're going on a field trip, so up, let's go with me. So you don't have to sit, because you can just come with me. Yep, not again. Field trips are cool. Yeah, well, I can't help that. So let's go. We'll say hi to Mr. Dixon on the way by. Hi, Mr. Dixon. can say hi to the choir on the way by. Hi, choir. And we're gonna gather around the Advent wreath this morning. So gather round. Actually, I need to be on this side over here because it's my best side. So come on around. You can see the view from up here is different from down there, right? Like, say hi. Anybody you want to say hi to? Okay, don't have to. This is the season of
Advent.
Yes, Advent. It is a season of getting ready for kind of. It's the weeks. Yeah, it's really about getting ready for Jesus coming back. But we exactly Jesus' birthday. But it's also pardon? Well, that's because that's what Christmas is. It's celebrating Jesus' birthday. So we have Advent kind of getting ready for Christmas, but getting ready for Jesus to come back again. And the first Sunday in Advent is the Sunday of
hope.
Yeah. How did you know? Well, you knew before. We even did this before. It's the Sunday of hope. And so we're going to talk just a little bit about hope this morning. You know what hope is? Hope is wanting something good. Okay, you hope that I don't say that, and you're going to base that hope on my ingenuity. So I hope we have a good service today. And I hope that because we usually have good services. We've got good people, you know, on the piano and the organ and the choir, and good people here, good people gathered around here, and we've got a decent enough preacher. So I'm hoping that we have a good service. So I base my wanting to have a good service on the fact that I believe that's going to happen. I'm going to stick with it because I love that one. I wish I could fly. I really wish I could fly, like without an airplane. I wish I could fly, but I don't have wings. And I don't have a jetpack. A jetpack would be awesome, wouldn't it? I'd love a jetpack, but I don't have one. So a wish is something that is probably not going to happen, but hope is something that we believe is going to happen. And Jesus gives us hope. Hope for eternity, hope for life with Him, hope for love, hope for so much in Jesus. Yeah, so we have hope in Jesus. So this morning we are going to light our candle of hope. Oh. You don't trust me with fire? Don't trust me with fire. So we are going to light the candle of hope. Just a second. We've got to try and make sure if that's going to actually. See, I'm. Yeah. I've got enough Scottish blood in me that I'm trying to reuse a match, right? There you go. Let's light our candle of hope. There we go. And like earlier, don't blow out towards the candle. Yeah, not too close. Yeah, well, that's why I said not too close. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for hope. We thank you for Jesus, who gives us hope. Help us to live as people who trust in you and have our hope in you. Amen. Thank you very much. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season, the season that reminds us and points directly to the incarnation, to God becoming human in Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you that you came close, that you came near, that you came to be one of us, that we can trust and know that you know what it is like to be us. You know what it is like with the joys and sorrows of humanity. You know physical pain and emotional pain and spiritual pain. You know us because you became us in Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the season of Advent where we reflect on and consider and even prepare for Jesus' return, the glorious day of Jesus' return. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that you truly are the keeper of promises. We thank you for the hope that you give us in Christ, the hope founded on the incarnation, but founded also on the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. We thank you that because of your faithfulness, we have meaning and purpose in life. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us to live lives of hope, that you would help us to trust you, to trust your faithfulness, and that you would bless us to live for you. We pray, Lord, for hope for this community, for the Glaberhood, for this neighborhood. We pray that you would infuse this neighborhood with the hope that only you can bring, that the people of this area would find their hope and their trust in you. We pray, Lord, your hope for this city. We pray that you would infuse Ottawa with the hope that only you can bring, that the people of this city would find their hope and their trust in you. We pray, Lord, that you would infuse your hope in this country, that the people of Canada would find the hope that only you can bring, and that we might trust in you. And we pray, Lord, your hope upon this world to be infused into the people of this world, hope as only you can bring it, that the people of this world would trust you and find their hope for today and tomorrow and eternity in you. We pray your blessing upon us, Lord, upon all those who are in need this day. We pray particularly for Jean Legarry in the loss of her son or of her husband, Peter. We pray, Lord, that your comfort and your hope would be upon her and upon the family. We pray your grace and blessing upon John and Irene and Wendy Leggett, Lord, that you would bless them in their concern for Aaron, that you would pour out your grace. Lord, we come to you with knowledge of numbers of circumstances, numbers of people that are within our hearts. So in confidence and hope, we bring those prayers to you in the quiet. Our Lord, all these prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
sing with voices, don't sing Noel. Sing, oh, sing Noel.
Let us worship God. Let us give praise to Him as we present to Him our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
of love and grace, we give you thanks for all that you have given to us. Grace that you fill us with in Jesus. The food, the shelter, the relationships we have, Lord, we thank you. And bring gifts to you today to say thank you and to give you honor. Bless and receive these for your glory's sake and for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 25. Hebrews 10, 11 to 25. Let us hear God's word. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sin and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approach. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are used to technology working, and when it doesn't, it throws us off. But there are still hymn books in the pews. I hope that the Red Blacks win the Grey Cup next year. I hope that winter this year will be warmer than it was here last year. I hope that this sermon doesn't go on for too long. The word hope and its use in our society has become pretty broad. It gets used in a lot of different ways, and it's at times almost used interchangeably with wishing. I hope this, I wish that. But consider it. Consider the difference. Which is more true? I hope that the Ottawa Senators win the Stanley Cup this season, or I wish that the Senators could win the Stanley Cup this season. Unfortunately, I think the second one's a little more true. Two students are preparing to write an exam, the same exam. One of the students reads her class notes over and over again and then goes through some practice questions in preparation. The other student plays video games and worries about the exam. Which one of them is going to be able to say, "I hope I do well"? Yeah. There's a difference between wishing for something and hoping for something. Wishing is a desire to have something that is based on nothing. I wish I could fly. Hope is a desire to have something based in experience, based in something solid, based in something we can trust. I hope, I wish. Several years ago, Grace and I watched a TV show about naturalist and artist Robert Bateman. And it was a show that was about him painting this painting. It was fascinating to watch. He began with an empty canvas, and he took a 4-inch brush and put it into black paint and went up and across and over. He started to lay out the theme that he wanted for the painting, and then he built it up bit by bit, color by color, different brush sizes, different things going into the whole painting. He looked at it with different lighting, set at different angles. He looked at it from down below. He looked at it from above. He looked at it from wide angles to the side, from both sides. He looked at it in a mirror to make sure that it still worked, even in its reverse form. And then he had it complete. And I'm looking at it and saying, this is amazing what he has done. But he was looking at it with a frown on his face because he thought something was missing. Now, he had pre-sold this painting for $50,000. This was several years ago, too. But he took the painting because he was not happy with it and laid it flat on a table and then took a jar and made a light white wash in the jar. And then held the jar over the painting and said, "I hope this works." And poured the wash over the painting. Now, if you agree with me, the white wash created the fog, and it makes the painting work. He was right. His hope was based in his experience and his expertise and his eye. I would have done that going, "I wish this might work." But he had hope. Hope that had a foundation in what he was able to do. His hope was the assurance of something good to come. Wishing wants something based on nothing. Hope wants something based on something solid, something foundational. The book of Hebrews is more a sermon than it is a letter. So I'm going to refer to the writer of the book of Hebrews as the preacher. This letter, this sermon, was given to a group of people that were on the verge of turning away from their Christian faith and returning to their Jewish faith. The preacher of the Sermon of Hebrews gave a lengthy argument about the superiority of Christ, his superiority in a variety of different ways. And the section of the book that we read from today is a portion where the preacher is showing the superiority of Christ, comparing it to the futility of animal sacrifices, and the superiority of Christ with the fullness and completeness of Jesus' self-sacrifice on the cross. And then he wrote, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." The preacher spoke about the power of Jesus' sacrifice, that in his death, the curtain of the temple in Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom, opening the way for us to have access to the living God. The way is open for us through Jesus. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can come to God with sincere hearts, with full assurance of faith, knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that we are received by God as his own daughters and sons. The preacher went on to write, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Not only are the hearers of the sermon being called to remember to have hope in Jesus, they were being called to cling to that hope, to hold fast to that hope unswervingly, without wavering. For them, the hope was more than pie in the sky dreaming. It was even to be more than a qualified confidence. For the people who first heard this sermon, their hope in Jesus Christ was to be assurance. They were to be completely sure of their hope. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. The salvation that Christ achieved with his own blood was the fulfillment of the promise of God. God's promise to reconcile his people to himself. And if God would keep that promise to the point of sacrificing himself on the cross in Jesus, how much more will he keep all of his promises? What does that do for your hope? Much of what we hear about hope these days is more of a pie in the sky kind of dreaming, hoping that tomorrow will be a better day, but doubting it will be. Commentator Harry Cotton spoke of such hope in these terms: "When misfortune overtakes a friend, it is customary to urge him or her to hope for the best. This is supposed to be Christian comfort, but it is really the opposite of Christian faith. It is akin to the gambler's hope for a better throw of the dice. The law of averages will bring you something better. Such comfort is not Christian," he writes. "It is idle and cruel. It bids us trust in nothing." The hope that the Christian is to have is a hope that is fully sure. It is the hope that is grounded in Jesus Christ. Our hope is founded upon the one who is faithful to us. Once again, we are confronted by a profound truth. This is not about our ability to think good things. It is not about having a positive mental attitude. It is not about being upbeat. This is not about imagining the best or being optimistic or surrounding ourselves with positive mental energy, whatever that might mean. This hope is much bigger and much deeper and much broader and much higher. This is about God's faithfulness to us. It's not so much about our faith and trying to believe, but it is about God's faithfulness and merely our accepting that faithfulness. The hope of which we read is not so much about something we do, but it is about what God has done and is doing in Christ. It is about God's faithfulness as the keeper of promises. Accepting God's faithfulness in Jesus gives us hope. It is a gift from God, a gift to which we can hold and even cling. Once again, as we read carefully, we find that this passage doesn't tell us that by just believing and just hoping in God, that if we do that hard enough, life is going to be just peachy and fun and easy. In fact, the preacher of Hebrews says that we are to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That seems to tell me that there is an acknowledgement that stuff is going to happen, that things will happen in our lives for which we need hope, that things are going to happen around us for which we need to hold and cling unswervingly to the hope that we have. Remember, the one in whom we hope is faithful. It is all about God's faithfulness to us so that we can have hope, deep and abiding hope, because God is faithful. This is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, the time we generally use to prepare for Christmas, but technically is that time of reflection on and preparation for Christ's return, the second coming of the Lord. And Advent is a season of hope. It is a time that reminds us of the hope that we have in Christ. Advent points to the hope of Jesus, in that God became human and dwelt for a time amongst us, and that he taught and healed and proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of God, and then turned himself over to sacrifice on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And it is in Jesus that we have hope. And that's the message that we hear in Hebrews. As Thomas Long wrote, when we hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, we are doing more than holding on to a doctrine or an abstract idea. We are holding on to the one who gives us hope, Jesus Christ. Advent is a time of hope because it is a time of reflecting on the coming of Jesus and the power of hope that he gives us in our lives. But there is more. Advent is the time of hope because it is a time of looking forward to Christ's return. We live in a world, if we consider the last year, a world of war and violence. We live in a world that has hatred and prejudice, a world of injustice and oppression, a world of corruption and lies. We live in a world where there are old men who have known nothing but slavery for their entire lives, a world in which young girls are sold into the sex trade. We live in a world full of broken relationships and broken spirits. We live in a broken world, and yet we are people of hope. We are people of hope because we know that Jesus is going to return and he is going to bring the fullness of his kingdom to bear, and there will be peace and compassion, love and unity, justice and freedom, integrity and truth. The kingdom of God is the place in which old men will dance before the Lord and young girls will be safe and secure, where broken relationships are healed and broken spirits are mended. In God's kingdom, this broken world will be recreated. Sisters and brothers, I know that to be fact, because it is founded upon the hope of the one who is faithful to us in Jesus Christ. We can't see it yet. That's why it's still hope. But it's not in doubt, because the one who promises is faithful. And in Jesus' return, all will be made right. All will be made good. All will be well. And that is a great and powerful hope to have, a hope to which we can hold tightly, because the one who promised is faithful. But what about today and tomorrow and next week and next year? What about hope for that? Our hope is not only for the day of Jesus' return. Our hope is for here and now, because our hope is in Christ, who makes a difference here and now. Our hope is for today, as we are called to live hope. What does that mean? It means in part that we are to live a trust of God who is faithful. We are to live with that trust. But part of living hope also means to live hope, to live what the Lord is bringing to us in our lives and in his grace. God's kingdom, though is not here yet in its fullness, is in us because of Christ. So today and tomorrow and next week and next year, we can still live peace and compassion in a hurting and broken world. We can still live love and unity in a hurting and broken world. We can still live justice and freedom in a hurting and broken world. We can still live integrity and truth in a hurting and broken world. We can live lives in the grace of God in Christ that will see old men dance before the Lord, and will see young girls safe and secure. We can live such lives in God's grace that relationships are healed and spirits are mended. Let us hold unswervingly to the truth, to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. It is the hope for our lives. It is the hope for this world. It is the hope for our future. And it is the hope for our today. It is a great and powerful hope, because it is founded on him who is faithful. Let us pray. Our holy God, our gracious God, our loving God, we thank you for the hope that you give us in Jesus. Bless us to trust you, that we may be a people of hope, whatever our circumstances. not like throwing dice and hoping the next time will be better, but hoping by holding on to you and trusting that your will should be done in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And bless us to live, Lord. Bless us to live your hope as we live kingdom lives for your glory's sake, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he who promises is faithful. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.